Good morning. Oh, how we need God. Amen? Cannot think what I would do without the God that saved my soul. It's not just about when he came down from heaven and saved it, but it's every day when he lifts it. Let's pray to God this morning. God in heaven, thank you for the God that you are. We are so, so thankful that you saved our souls. Father, we come to you with open arms and open hearts just to say that we love you and we're thankful this morning. May your word be read as it should. And Holy Spirit, may you grab it and plant it deep inside the soul of the worshiper this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all the church said, amen. Miracles are for changing your viewpoint, as John would write. Miracles are for making room where there wasn't room before. Miracles are to show us beyond into deeper meanings. And miracles are to show us who Jesus really is. Going over and over in my head, what miracle do we talk about today? What miracle do we focus on this morning? And the Spirit kept coming back at me with, you've got to share Mark chapter 1 and 4 and 5, and we're not going to do all of it, but there will be some scripture reading this morning. And not because I know this, because this was shared with me years ago by who I consider a mentor and a friend, Rex Boyles, when he would talk to us about how to share the gospel with somebody. But because it is near and dear to my heart, and it speaks to me when I walk and I live every day in life, and so hopefully we can grab something out of this. And so by these miracles we see behind the heart of Jesus, I think we don't relate enough to these miracles, and I think we're missing out. I think we don't relate to the miracles of Jesus and to Jesus himself. And so I think we miss out on this. But I think these miracles are showing us that we really can have a part in Jesus. And that because Jesus really wants to have a part in us. And I think we get caught up in the mundane things in life and we forget that we really have a Savior that wants to be a part of us. And so this morning it's all about Jesus. It's all about who Jesus really is. And as Tim read the passage earlier, we're not going to read through the passage at this moment because it's already been read, so we're going to talk about it just for a second. Before that passage, there's a passage in Mark chapter 1. When Mark, if you're not familiar with the Bible, Mark would sit down and write what we call the Gospel of Mark. Simply a letter. And in this first part of this letter, he would say that he was going to write about the good news of Jesus Christ and everything that would follow. And then he wrote this story, true story, about an encounter that Jesus had. When's the last time you had an encounter with Jesus? When's the last time that the Spirit really shook you to have you look at him? I know that sometimes I've had to get my children and to get right in front of them and to look them dead in the eye. And this is an encounter that such person has with Jesus. Let's read it together. A man with leprosy came to him, to Jesus, begging him on his knees, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Now, leprosy was a nerve disease. It was a, I should have, Brandon, I should have had you up here to talk about you want to, no, okay. It killed your nerves, but also ate your flesh. By saying ate your flesh, I mean it would like literally your flesh would be rotting off and you wouldn't feel things. Do you want to see a picture of rotting flesh? I don't have one this morning, so sorry. But it was nasty. It was horrible. The stench. And it would just, they would say that if you held your hand off the edge of the cot at nighttime, sometimes a rodent would chew the end of your finger off. You would wake up with less finger because you didn't feel it. Because literally it destroyed the nerves. But the rotting flesh and the smelly flesh. This guy was horrible. And so he's heard about Jesus. You know he's heard about him because he said, if you can, if you're willing, you can make me clean. So he's desperate for an encounter with somebody. I don't know that he cares that it's Jesus at this point. He just knows that Jesus can do these things. And so he comes to him and he begs him. I mean, I think we read this a lot, you know, if you're willing, you can make me clean. No. I don't know if I'm going to be on camera, but he gets down on his knees and he says, if you're willing, I know you can make me clean. His body's riddled. Leprosy. We don't know if he was a family man. I always picture he was a family man. He had a wife at home and children. One of the other things about leprosy is that, I'm only one verse into this. I got to hurry. Sorry, folks. You don't have anywhere to go today, right? Fran, you good? All right. One of the terrible things about leprosy is you had to leave. You had to be among other lepers, right? And so you had to leave your family. When we had COVID back in September last year, Leslie and I both had COVID at the same time. We just hoped that our house stayed together, that our daughters didn't fight themselves. We were barricaded in our rooms. And for at least for myself, in any of the inconveniences that COVID caused, the worst part for us at least was isolation. I love my children. Now, I got to spend time with my wife, and I loved it. We didn't kill each other back in the bedroom. We actually liked it. We watched several TV shows, but I love my children. I love to hug my children. I love to punch them in the arm when we're driving down the road and there's a slug bug, which I don't usually get because they get it before me. But I love the interaction that I have. This guy didn't have it. And so when he falls on his knees and says, if you're willing, I know you can. If you're willing, please cleanse me. Please make me whole again. Please take this away from me. Please get me back to where I was going, to where I was. And the Bible says that Jesus, filled with compassion, reached out and touched him. I'm willing to be clean. I don't know if the Spirit meant for us to get this from that, but nobody would touch the leper. Jesus touched the leper. See, this is all about Jesus. Then the rest of the passage, I'll let you read for yourself. A little primitive PowerPoint this morning. One thing that we know, and my big marker, somebody left the cap off, and I found it this morning, so forgive me if you can't read. But one of the things that we know about Jesus is that he can't, not just that he heals. I don't know if you can read that if I had a big marker. But that Jesus cares. That Jesus cares enough about this leper to reach out and touch him. He knew what he needed. He knew that he needed to be healed. There's no doubt about that. You could see the guy. You could smell the guy. I mean, he knew that he needed to be healed. But he knew down deeper that he needed something else. So he reached out and touched him. You see, we need to know that Jesus cares about us. When you're laying in bed at night and you're like, oh, nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me. Nobody's on my side. Jesus is on your side because he cares. That is very real. We need to know that Jesus cares about us. Yesterday, I was at a baseball game, and I was sitting next to Schaefer, and it wasn't Tom. This is another dad, and his son was up to bat, and bless his heart, he wasn't doing the best, and his dad would grumble at him, and you would see his son. He would look back at him and look straight at his dad, and one time his dad went, you know, and I thought, man, that's harsh. I mean, you thought it was game six against the St. Louis Cardinals, and they lost the game, and they would never be back to the World Series again. And he missed another one. I mean, came right in front of him, should have swung. And he looked back at his dad again, and I mean, his eyes were just big. You know, he looked back, and I'm not exaggerating, this is how it went. And he just looked at him. And third time, he missed. He looked back at him, and his dad didn't even look at him. I wanted to have a conversation right there about fatherhood, about the lack of, that this is not the Major League Baseball game. Now, that was his son, and his son looked back at him, and it's almost like, Dad, I need you. And that, I don't want you to yell at me again. I don't want you to give me that look again. I don't want you to raise your arms at me again. Family, we need to know that Jesus cares about us. He cares about you. He cares about where you are. He cares about your family. He cares when you're alone. He cares when nobody else cares. What this story tells us in this miracle is not that Jesus can heal somebody, but that Jesus cares about people. Then we move to the scripture that Tim read this morning in Mark chapter 4. Disciples already trying to figure out who this Jesus was that they were following, that they got up and left everything to follow. And the story that we won't read, it's in front of us, but we'll skip through it. But they're in a boat. Remember the furious squall came up? If you've ever been in it, I've been in one. My dad and I were out in a mussel fishing boat because we were mussel fishing at one time and in our lives, and we were fishing. I said, Dad, I think that was thunder. And we're about in the middle of a lake, the Kentucky Lake, if you've ever been in western Kentucky, about 2 miles wide. And we had a boat that would go Mach 2 miles an hour, and it just wasn't very fast. I said, Dad, I think that's thunder. And he said, no, son, that's just a jet. And here in about two more minutes, we heard it again. I said, no, Dad, that's thunder. And just like that, the storm was on the lake. And it happens all the time, and it happened to the disciples. And just like we were going like this, it seemed like it. I was holding onto the pole in the middle, and if lightning would have struck, I mean, it would have hurt. But it was rough. And we weren't going anywhere very fast as we were trying to make our way to the side. And storms are scary. I don't care if you're in a real boat or like Tim talked about, a storm in your life. And they look back at Jesus and they're like, and they turn around and they say, hey, dude. It's not in the Greek, but it's there. Don't you care if we're drowning? You know they saw him heal the leper? You know they know what he can. Don't you care? We're drowning here, man. Jesus, don't you care? Don't you see what happened to me in life? Don't you see what's happened to my job? Don't you see what's happened to my, you know, we kind of start whining to Jesus. Let the interpreter catch up there, sorry. We begin to whine and complain. Don't you care about me? Have you forgotten about me? Jesus gets up, he rebukes the wind. You will not win. Quiet, be still. Whew. What does this tell us about Jesus? You know what they were doing, right? They were holding on that pole in the middle of the boat for dear life. They had a bucket, you know, they were getting water out the best they could. They couldn't do anything. There was nothing they could do. They were doomed to drown. And I think it's important for us to understand something in life, that when we can't do anything, when we can't solve the issue, and if you've been where I have or where the person next to you has been, you know that sometimes it's helpless. And I think it's important for us to know that in life, when we can't do anything about our situation, that Jesus helps. All right? He cares, right? He cares not just about the miracle, but the miracle that the calming of the storm shares with us or tells us is that Jesus really helps when others can't. Now, Doug, if I called you Doug, I call you Doug, is that all right? My brain's not working. Doug spoke on the, when they get across, they're wet, they're soaking, they're scared, they're like, well, who in the world is this guy? I mean, even the waves and the wind obey him. Who is he? And so they're freaking out, and they're wet, and they're soaked, and they're worn out, and they're tired. They can't take anymore. They get across, and they say, ah, you know this. I don't know what he looked like, but he was scary. Demon-possessed man. So they hide behind Jesus. And this is what is said about the man. This man lived amongst the tombs. No one could bind him anymore, not even with chain, for he'd often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons of his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Let me ask you, what can man do in this scenario? The story says he could do nothing. They bound him all the time, hand and foot, but he broke the chains and the irons around his feet. What we need to know is that this is not really just a cool story about a demon-possessed man that was, the demons were cast out of him and thrown into the pigs, and down in the bay they go. This is a story about Jesus helps. When nobody else could, Jesus helped. Oh, we desperately need to know that. We desperately need to know that when we can't, he can. They have to be completely razzled by this point. Scriptures will continue to read. When Jesus again had crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered there while he was in the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. They know what he can do. He knew what he could do. He pleaded earnestly with him. My little girl is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and lived. Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. Wouldn't you? You know, one of the things that we need to understand about this is we need to tell people. That's why they followed him. I think we get a little too busy. Is it hot in here, by the way? Okay. Maybe not. A lot of hot air up on stage, friend. I think we get too busy thinking about us, and we forget to think about those that are outside these walls. Wouldn't you follow Jesus if you knew how much he cared about you? Wouldn't you follow him if you knew the compassion that he had? Wouldn't you follow him if you knew how he helped? I think we need to be telling these stories. So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed and pressed around him. A woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. 12 years! That's a long time. It's a long time to be probably very anemic. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, and she had spent all she had. Yet, instead of getting better, she grew worse. She had been to all the doctors. Now, they didn't have Brandon Cometti back then, because I'm sure everything would have been fixed, right? They didn't have the great doctors we have today. What, I don't know. But she'd been to all of them. She looked up the phone book in Galilee and found all of them. She didn't care who they were. She spent everything she had. This woman had nothing left. This woman had nothing except her problem. Have you ever felt like that? You've had nothing left except your problem. That's where she was. But she was getting worse. She was dying. When she heard about Jesus, don't skip over that. When she heard about Jesus, somebody told this lady about Jesus. He helps. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped. No more doctors. She didn't have to spend any money. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd. He said, who touched my clothes? You see all the people around you crowding against you, his disciples answered. Yet you ask, who touched me? We'd probably be the same way. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. For a moment, just for a moment, don't skip over that part. In a big crowd, I don't know how many people we have here. I don't know how many are listening on Facebook or on the radio, but in a big crowd, with everyone pressing, Jesus kept looking. I think that goes back to this. That he cares about us. He did not need to do that because he had already helped her, but he wanted her to know that he cared. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell on his feet, trembling in fear, told him the whole truth. He said, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. All right, we've got to get through this story. Last story. Well, Jesus, remember where we're going? Okay, so they about drowned in the boat, and they cross over, and there's the crazy guy, and then they encounter Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Remember, he's on his way to the synagogue ruler's house. And that's where they're headed. And then this woman comes and kind of interrupts things. Jesus can be interrupted. That's another story. While he was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? Little did they know, this is no ordinary teacher. Overhearing what they said, Jesus said, don't be afraid, just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw all the commotion, the people crying and wailing loudly. We understand that. We would be as well. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. Well, they laughed at him. We might have too, and might have run him out of the house. After he put them out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went into where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. And immediately the little girl stood up and began to walk around. She was about 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. Again, the story, what could they do about it? Well, obviously they couldn't do anything, because we know in the story that she had died. She had expired. She had lost her life. But when Jesus comes into the room, we know that Jesus helps. So where man can't help, or we can't help, we know that Jesus can. And why? I know what you're thinking. Why, preacher? Why in my life? Why did my father-in-law pass away at the age of 56? Does my wife consider herself to be orphaned, even though her mother was older just as of a couple of years ago? Why? And why couldn't they be healed? I don't know, and I don't have the answers to that. But I do know that Jesus can help when others can't help. And he has compassion while doing it. You see, Jesus cares, and Jesus saves. And we need to know that, and we need to be able to tell others that Jesus cares about us.
I have room up here. I didn't have room up here for another board. But I think we have to know and we have to understand that Jesus saves. All right? For God so loved the world, John would write in his gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. I think it's important for us to understand that Jesus cares and that Jesus helps, but we've got to know that Jesus saves. We've got to know that nothing else in this world, if you're listening on the radio or on Facebook, that nobody else saves. And that when you leave this world, if you don't have Jesus, you're not going to have him in the world after. And I know that's a harsh reality. And that's a harsh truth when I just talked about how much Jesus cares. But you need Jesus, because Jesus is the one that saves. The only name given under heaven where someone can be saved is by the name of Jesus. That's what Luke would say in the book of Acts. He's done it. He's done all the work. All you got to do is believe in him. Day after day, the Hebrew writer would say, every priest stands up and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. You see, back in the system that we don't do, they knew what that meant. If you had to keep sacrificing for sins, that meant that the sins were still there. But when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he awaits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. Who are you going to tell this week about Jesus? Who are you going to share your story with this week? Who are you going to invite to worship or into your home or simply while you're waiting in line at the Sam's get out of the store line, which sometimes can be long? Who are you going to tell about Jesus? He cares, he helps, and he saves. Beyond an amazing miracle or miracles is a giver of love. Beyond the amazing miracle or miracles is a hand of help. Beyond the amazing miracle or miracles as a saver of souls. That's Jesus. And we follow him today. Praise God. If you need Jesus in your life this morning, you're ready to believe on him and to be baptized into him, to have your sins washed away, I want to invite you to come down front. Don't wait. Don't be scared. Don't be nervous. I mean, we're all excited when that happens. Amen? We're all excited when that happens. Amen? All right. Sometimes we fall off towards the end of the sermon. That's okay. If you're ready to surrender to Jesus Christ, if you're ready to walk in him, I want to invite you to come down front as we sing this song. Maybe you needed to hear how much Jesus cares or how much Jesus helps, but if you need to hear him this morning and to know that he saved you, I want to invite you to come down front this morning as we stand and as we sing. Come down front.